hope that you guys are excited for 2019. I know we get into these moments where we make New Year's resolutions and we get all excited for a new year and the new opportunities. But I just want to let all of you know that I am so excited for this year. I believe that 2019 is going to be a year in which God does incredible things in and through us. And I think 2019 is going to be a year for GSM to reach new students, not for our sake, but for the sake of Jesus and Jesus alone. And I think that that only happens through each and every one of you. Like as you interact and engage with your friends and your family members and your neighbors and your teammates, something must come out of us. We must be willing to allow the Spirit to work in and through us so that this room becomes too small for what God has planned for it. And so let's do just that in 2019. Let's say, Jesus, I am pursuing you in a new way, and I am going to follow you with my whole heart, knowing that you are the God who loves us so much that you would send your Son to this earth to dispel and disperse the darkness, so much that at the speaking of his name, darkness flees. And so I think that's what 2019 has the opportunity to become. And I'm coming off of, I don't know if you noticed it, but I'm feeling good today. I just got back on Friday night with some of our seniors and some of our graduated freshmen. We went to Washington, D.C. for the Passion Conference, and I'm lit up, and I'm like ready to just do life with you as we pursue Jesus. And so, real quick shout out, all of you at one point will be seniors, and when you have the opportunity to go to Passion, don't miss it. Don't miss it. God moves in incredible ways. And don't miss it for the sake of just wanting 3 days of rest or whatever it might be. But that's for another day. We'll talk about that as you get ready for your senior year, whether it's a year away or 3 years away. But here's what I'm committing to. Okay, here's what I'm committing to. And here's what I'm committing high school GSM to. That this is going to be a year where we shine the light on things that Satan wants us to keep in darkness. It hit me yesterday as I was vacuuming, believe it or not, that there are things, you know, there are things that I sometimes want to talk about, certain ways that I want to put stuff to speak to you in the way that you understand it, but it may come across as harsh and or too aggressive. And what hit me yesterday is I need to shine light on those things. Satan is saying, please go about it in a way that you don't hit the nail on the head, but you just kind of strike it from the side. But no, this is going to be a year where we go after it. Well, we're going to be real. Like, we're high school students. I think we can handle it. Actually, I'm confident that we can handle it. If we're going to talk about it, if we can talk about it in our hallways, and if we can talk about it on our teams, and if we can talk about it via text message or on social media, then we must talk about it in here. We can't just allow ourselves to say, well, there's only certain things we can talk about in here. We need to shine light on all of it. So I'm committing to you, keep me accountable for this, that 2019 is going to be a year where we shine a light on the darkness, where we talk about where you really are, where your friends really are, and we go after it, and we push one another, and we push our friends to Jesus, who can solve it all. And so that's my hope for 2019. And you guys are like, all right, whatever. I mean, does anybody else want that? I mean, is that...
Yeah.
Let's make 2019 a year where you guys give me some verbal response, like feedback, where I'm like, where I cast a vision and you guys go, that sounds good. And if you're not into it, don't. But seriously, no, I'm not looking for affirmation, but like if you're not into it, don't. But let's let this be the year. At one point at Passion, I forget who it was, but they encouraged us to pray for one another. And they said there's times where somebody might be praying and somebody may be teaching and you agree with them. You agree with the truth that they're pointing to God. And in those moments, like, agree with them. Say, man, that's good. Or amen. Or truth. Or whatever it might be. Or I agree. Or even just like a firm head nod if you're not one of those. But let's do that this year. Let's do that together. As we look ahead to what is to come, let's help. Let's allow the Spirit to use us as a vessel to connect to our friends and to our families and to those who are lost in darkness. Let's shine light on that. And so that's my hope for 2019, coming hot off the excitement of Passion 2019. What I'd encourage you to do, go ahead and we're gonna open up. We're gonna be in two different places today. But what I'd love for you to do, I'd love for you to open up to Judges chapter 16, front of your Bible. It's relatively early on. But as you flip there, I am gonna read something from 1 Kings, in which we'll be there later. So we're gonna spend the first half in Judges, and then at the second half, we're gonna look into 1 Kings. But go ahead and flip to Judges 16. When you got it, put your finger there. And then pay attention to the screen because a different verse is coming up. So this is 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 36 through 40. This is what it says. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. That took a turn. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, it's my prayer that as we look into it this morning, it is not just something that we do on Sundays, but it is something that we do Monday through Sunday, that we go to your word for wisdom, for truth, for guidance and direction, to feel the love that you have for us. But as we open it today, Father, I pray that you would continue, that your spirit would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our spirits for your word, that we would hear it and it would not be planted and die, but that it would fully come to life and that it would cause life change in us and those around us. And so, Father, we thank you for who you are. God, guide us. In 2019, push us in the direction that you want us to go. Help us to shine light on the things that you want driven out. Father, thank you for calling us to do this. Thank you for allowing us to be the tools that you use to make your kingdom a reality in those who do not know you and something that we can grow in every day for those who do know you. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So that's where we're going. But before we get there, I don't know if you guys fully, I think you may know what it is, but I don't know if you fully have ever interacted with. How many of you know what eBay is? Okay, how many of you have ever purchased something on eBay? There we go, a lot of adults' hands in the air. In the last year, I've really come to enjoy eBay. So for those of you who are like, I've never used it, I don't know what it is, eBay is an online marketplace where you can go and you can bid on, like people put stuff up for sale and you can bid on it. It's kind of like an online auction. And so I have, over this last year, it's something that I'm trying to rid of my life. I had a great interaction with eBay where I would go and I would look at stuff that I wanted and I'd see kind of what it was costing. And you could buy used stuff, you could buy new stuff, the whole thing. But the cool thing about eBay is they, when you start to bid, if you become the highest bidder, you can say, I want to spend no more on this. So let's say I'm bidding on a Xbox, and at $100, I'm the highest bidder, and I say, I want to spend no more than $200. I can punch that in, and they will, when somebody else comes in and bids $105, they'll automatically put my bid on top of it to make me the winner, because that's the advantage of being the highest bidder, is you can set a max that you want to spend, okay? And so when I bid knowing that whoever is currently winning has probably already preset a determined amount of money that they want to spend for this. And so I know that there's a good chance that my bid will automatically be outbid, okay? And I will not win this or I'll have to make a higher bid. And so this is where I get in trouble. And Emily doesn't know this. She's hearing this for the first time, just as all of you are. I may have a difficult afternoon. But what I like to do, I don't know why, but I just like to put a bid in, and it might not even be something that I really want, just to see if I'm gonna, like, if when it says you're the highest bidder, there's like this like rush that you get. And a lot of times I'll just say, you know, I don't need this, but I'd pay $40 for it. And so like I start to bid. And there's been a handful of times where it's something that I'm not even crazy about, but like I'll punch it in and I'm so used to seeing, like, I hit enter and it says, sorry, you've been outbid, because that highest bidder has already put a higher cap than I. And so I'm so used to seeing that. There's sometimes where it's like, congratulations, you're the highest bidder. And I go, oh my goodness, I didn't want that. And I find myself in a position where I'm the highest bidder, and I've found myself in a position where I'm going to have to pay for this, and I don't really want it. I just got caught up in the bidding and like just trying to see if I could be the highest bidder. And it's caused me to get some things that I didn't really want. I really enjoy them now, but it's caused me to purchase some things that I really didn't have the intention of buying. But the rules and the laws and eBay, like if you're the highest bidder, you have to pay. And so I found myself in this position just a handful of times. But I think as I reflect on those moments where I'm placing a bid on something that I don't necessarily, like, I'm not fully into buying. Like, I have a small want, but it's not like I'm not at the point where I'm committed to buy this yet. But I still flirt with the temptation of purchasing this. And I think this really points to the reality of where a lot of us are. Where we look at certain things in our lives and we go, I kind of want that, or I want that, but I know I'm not supposed to have that. Like, this is what I get in trouble with all the time. I told Emily I wanted that for my birthday, but now I'm committed to buying it. It's going to not only am I going to get it, but it's going to ruin her surprise, and she gets mad because she goes, I wanted to buy that for you. But we do this where we flirt with some of the things that we maybe shouldn't have, or that we can't have, or that we're not yet supposed to have. And what we find is we find ourselves in these moments where we are more committed because we're pursuing our temptations than we actually wanted to be. Where we find ourselves stuck in it with a contract to purchase, even though we really don't want to purchase it, or thank God we haven't gotten there yet, we don't have the money to purchase it. And I think that is where a lot of us can find ourselves in various scenarios and avenues of life. And there's this guy in the Bible who found himself in the same situation, where he finds himself constantly flirting with temptation. He knows he doesn't want to buy it, but he wants to see how high he can get the bid going before he's committed to it. Like, he wants to continue to pursue that person or that relationship. I'm never going to marry that person, but maybe I'll date them, or maybe we'll just flirt and talk, and we'll be in the incredibly confusing stage of talking forever. But I won't marry that person. But we flirt with those temptations, or whatever it might be for you. Like, I'm not going to look at full-blown pornography, but I'm gonna look at, as I buzz through Instagram, I'm going to find those pages that girls aren't fully dressed. But I'm not going to look at full-blown pornography. Like, let's be honest, we're going to shine light on it. I'm not going to have sex with him, but I'll give him a blowjob. Like, if we're real, that's where some of us are. We know that, I don't want to flirt, but what we realize is that as we're going through these steps, we're making compromises. We're making compromises that put us in a place where we're not living in the right place with God, where we're not pursuing him in those things. It can look like a lot of different things. It can be how you dress. It can be your motivation. It can be the reason you're pursuing things. And as we look at this story of a man named Samson, we see him doing just these things. He's flirting with temptation. He's finding himself, he's finding himself in a place. He's finding himself in a place where he's making compromises and doing things that he knows he shouldn't be doing, even though he's still staying far away from where he knows he shouldn't be. And we do this. And so I'd encourage you to, if you've still got your thumb there, in Judges chapter 16. So quick quick update for those of you who don't know this man named Samson. So he was a man who took the Nazarite vow. And so essentially what that meant is he could not, for whatever reason, we can find it in Numbers, the Nazarite vow, it's explained and hashed out there, but he could not touch any kind of dead person or any kind of dead animal. If something died, he had to get away from it as fast as possible. Like he could not even, if it was his mother or his father, he could not go and be around the body for like burial and things like that. It was part of the Nazarite vow. He could not, for whatever reason, I don't know. You can ask God. Maybe he'll give you the answer. He could not have any wine or anything that was made from grapes. He could not even touch grapes or the vines that they grew on. I don't know why. You can ask God. Maybe read in Numbers and it'll give you some greater clarity to that. Maybe not. And the last piece of the Nazarite vow, one of the big things is he could not, it says he could not take a razor to his hair. And so he had to let his hair grow. He could not cut his hair. Okay. So we learned that. And then we learned also Samson, God's spirit was upon him and it gave him incredible strength. So much strength that we hear that at one point he broke into a Philistine town, tore the gates off of, as he was leaving, he tore the gates away and carried them uphill just for the sake of doing it because he could. He was that strong, okay? And he had just incredible strength. But Samson had a problem. He would constantly test what God had told him not to do. Multiple times, so much that at one point he, in a really like cool scene, these Philistines come to attack him, and he sees there's this donkey's skeleton, and he grabs the jawbone of it, and he kills the Philistines with the jawbone of this donkey. You're like, wow, that's awesome. But what we sometimes overlook is, in doing that, he touched something that was dead, and he went against the vow that he took. Do that. Another time he kills a young lion that sneaks up on him and he goes back to find the carcass and there was these bees that had created a nest in there and he found honey in there and so he ate it. But along the way, he found himself defiling himself by touching a body of a dead creature. And we find him constantly doing these things where I know God, you said not to, but I'm gonna flirt with the temptation a little bit. And we're there. Like if we're really honest with one another, we find ourselves there a lot. And so let's jump in. One of the things that we realize also about Samson is he loved the ladies. He loved the ladies. And clearly the ladies loved him as well. And he goes and he loves to get physical with the ladies even though he's not married to them. And we see that's one of his temptations. And if we're honest, we can probably, a lot of us can say, hey, I know where Samson's at there. So let's jump in. And this is an interaction where he meets a woman named Delilah, but he has an interaction with a woman right before that. So this is Samson and Delilah, Judges chapter 16. And we're gonna do 21 verses, so bear with me as we read through this. It says this, Judges 16. Samson went to Gaza, and there was a prostitute, and he went into her. The Gazites told, Samson has come here, and they surrounded the place and set ambush for him all night in the gate of the city, and they kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait until the light of the morning, then we will kill him. But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he rose and took hold of the doors, here it comes, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is from Mount that is in front of Hebron. So like imagine that. Like for those of you who are in like weight training, like lifting for a sport or something like that, imagine just putting, I don't know, it's a gate made out of metal. Imagine putting that on your back and just walking up a hill. That goes to show, and what it doesn't say here is Hebron was 36 miles away. Pretty far. You know what I mean? So that's neither here nor there, but we're going to get back in. Verse 4, he says, after this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. If you were brought up in church, you're probably familiar with this story. If not, you're hearing it today, so we're all in the same boat. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, seduce him. Seduce him and see where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him, and we each will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one might subdue you. So Samson, obviously, he's got a fancy for Delilah. He likes her. And in this moment, this is the moment where Samson relies a little bit too heavily on himself. And this woman comes to him and says, hey, tell me what your greatest, tell me what the secret to your strength is. How might we subdue you? Samson knows that it's his hair. That is the source of, that's what's keeping the presence of God in and around him. And he knows that's the source. And at this moment, this woman comes up and says, hey, tell me how I can remove your strength from you. What's the source of that? And in this moment, he finds himself with an opportunity to be like, hold on a second, girl, why do you want to know that? Like, if you care about me, wouldn't you want to say, like, don't tell me so that if I get tortured, I can't give it away? Like, but in this moment, he finds himself, and it says in the text that the Philistines wanted him to be seduced. This is strictly a sexual thing for him. And for you, the temptation may not be a sexual thing, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is identifying in your life the temptations that do, in fact, exist. He's shining light on that right now. We have asked that this would be a year where the Spirit shines light on things, and I believe that the Spirit is moving in and through you right now, that there's something in your mind, whether you like to admit it or not, that you go, that is my temptation. And Delilah goes after Samson's temptation. Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and like any other man. This is the moment where Samson would be like, girl, I ain't telling you nothing. Like, that's for me. Maybe if we get married and life goes good, but this is between me and God. Like, I'm not supposed to tell anyone these things. And hold on a second. I think you might, he knows that she's a Philistine. He knows that she's connected to people who want to do him harm. But instead of saying, girl, I ain't telling you, and if you ask again, this is over, he plays with her. He flirts with his temptation. He knows that if he gives her something that may or may not be true, he's going to get his temptation. I give up a little bit of this, and she gives up a little bit of that, and we're all happy. So he tells her what it is. And it says in verse 8, then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in the ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire, so his secret of his strength was not known. This is the moment where you break up with the girl. You know what I mean? Like I told her, she then tried to use that against me. Like, this is the moment where you say to your boyfriend or girlfriend, hey, we are not going to get physical. And that moment where we sometimes find ourselves, where we went through a boundary that we said we wouldn't go through, can I be honest with you? That's the moment you need to break up. You're not ready for that. Like, that person, whether their intentions are good or not, is drawing you away from Jesus, and Satan's going, yes, keep it up. Don't worry about that. Keep it in darkness. It's just you two. The world's saying, it's okay if you do those kind of things. Just keep it up. Hey, the Bible, it's just old literature. It's not important information. There's people out there that are saying, hey, live it up. Do your thing. Hey, the Bible is just trying to keep you from having fun. And all the time, Satan is going, yes, keep spreading the lies. Keep telling it. And you need to find yourself in that position saying, hey, you know what? We made a promise to one another. I made a promise to God that I was going to pursue him, that I was going to pursue sexual integrity. And this relationship is violating that. And so this relationship has to be less important than this relationship. And so we need to break up. For real. Like, it's that moment where you go, all right, I'm on my phone, where you need to take your phone and go and say, Mom and Dad, I'm looking at stuff I shouldn't. Take this from me and please get me a flip phone. If we're real. Mom and Dad, I cannot be trusted. And I love you, but I cannot be trusted with my own computer. I cannot be trusted with my own device. Mom and Dad, I cannot be trusted with a curfew that is past 10:30 on a Friday or a Saturday night. If we're real. But no, what we go is we go, you know what? I didn't get that drunk last night. I'm going to go and I'm just going to hang. I know what happened last Friday, but this week I'm just going to go and I'm going to just hang out. I'm going to have some LaCroix. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to just go with a big old six-pack of LaCroix and I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to have fun with my friends. We flirt with temptation. I'm just going to play Clash of Clans for an hour or two. I'm just going to buzz around on Instagram to see what my friends got for Christmas. And we flirt with temptation, very much like Samson. And we give opportunities to evil and to sin where we flirt with it. And we don't give up our whole secret. We don't give up our entire strength, but we flirt with it. So it says, so the secret of his strength was not known. It should say, verse 10 should say, and Samson broke up with Delilah. But it doesn't. It says, then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound. She asks him again. She goes, you lied to me. You didn't tell me what the truth was, and I'm upset about it. Like, how dare you? Not tell me after all we've been through, after all I've done for you, even that. Like, I did that for you, trusting that you were in this for me, and now you're lying to me. Like, she's twisting his mind to try and draw this out of him. The conversation should have flipped. Like, hold on, Delilah, why'd you actually wrap me up in them bowstrings? Like, what are you trying to do to me? But she gets the upper hand. She starts to get into his mind. Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men lying in ambush were in the inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Like, this is where we go, I've got this. I've got this under control. I'm going to flirt with temptations because I know that I'm not giving in. Like, we get there. A lot of us are there right now. All of us in certain areas of our life, we're there right now. I got this. I got it handled. I'm not going to go all the way in. I'm just going to tiptoe. I'm going to pursue temptation. I'm going to flirt with it a little bit, but I'm never going to marry temptation. So Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound. He said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, I shall become weak and like any other man. So while he slept, Delilah took the seven locks of his head and wove them into the web, and she made them tight with the pin, said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep, pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. Notice that each time she comes back to him and asks him, it gets a little bit closer to the truth. Like, before it was like bowstrings and rope, like that's nowhere close to the source of his strength. But now she continues to press him. He continues to flirt with temptation. And now he points, she doesn't know it yet, but he points to the source of his power. It is his hair. Like, these are the moments where we flirt with it and we go, you know, it's my phone, Mom and Dad. The temptation is my phone. We don't say it's pornography or it's being discontent with what I have. As I look on Instagram, I lack contentment. I'm greedy. I'm not happy for what others have. I want it for myself. Like, we say, oh, Mom and Dad, my phone's my problem. We just don't tell them what the real issue is. We look for a way to get by it without putting light on it. And in the same way with Samson, he flirts with his temptation and gets closer to it to give the source of his strength. He He says, it's how you braid my hair. And she does it again. I mean, imagine this. Imagine this, like someone, or like, let's be honest, like the promises of the world, like the world and society and media, the promises that they make to you in ads or in entertainment, that the promises have been made. All you have to do is sacrifice this, but you get this. And just like Samson, he finds himself in a position where he has proven to himself three times that this is not the woman he should be with. Like, she tried three times, even though he didn't give her the right information, three times she tries to overcome him. And he's just like, nah, it's good. I can handle this. And this is where it takes the turn. Verse 15, and she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Once he should say, how can you say that when you've tried to get the best of me three times? Like, I tested you, and you failed three times, babe. If you're like, well, I tested you, and you failed three times. And so, like, hey, if we're failing each other, let's end the relationship. Verse 16, and when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. That word vexed means to shrink. His soul was vexed to death. It shrunk, and he found himself, like, when your soul is not vibrant and alive because you're pursuing Jesus, what you find is the world and sin starts to get the best of you. Like, if it said, like, he, you know, if his soul was thriving, it would say he was full of the Spirit and he was alive and he knew what he should pursue and what he shouldn't pursue because he hadn't been pursuing the things that he shouldn't. And he lived his life for God and it was awesome. And Samson was the best judge of them all. But what we find is his soul was vexed to death because this woman, this thing, this temptation, I'm not saying women are things, I'm just saying for you it might be a thing, okay? This temptation for Samson just so happens to be a woman, but it could be a lot of things for a lot of people. It vexed him. She pressed him day after day after day. And when the thing that you want, but you know you shouldn't have, the temptation, when you keep it alive in your life, it continues to come after you. And when you continue to feed it and inch towards it and continue that relationship or continue to keep that from your parents, or you continue to pursue those relationships or those people or those substances, when you don't kill those things, they continue to come after you. And it does to us what it did to Samson, so that our souls are shrunken, they are brittle to death. And in his moment of weakness, because he's pursuing his temptations, he's flirting with it over and over and over again, and he's allowing it to live in his life. Because of that, verse 17, and he told her all his heart. He gave it all away. And he said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite of God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And that's the moment where flirting with temptation, all of a sudden in Samson's life, it said, congratulations, you are the highest bidder. And he finds himself in a position where he goes, well, hold on a second. I wasn't really wanting to buy that. I wasn't really trying to get sucked into this website. I wasn't really trying to go beyond whatever, beyond kissing, beyond holding hands with my boyfriend and my girlfriend. I wasn't planning on looking at pornography for 6 hours every night. Like, I wasn't there yet. I wasn't at the point where I was running through Instagram, looking at all my friends and talking them down because I'm jealous of them. Like, I wasn't looking to be there. But that's where we find ourselves when we flirt with these temptations, where we give it our heart. And what we find out about Samson is, in typical Delilah fashion, she comes after him again, and she finds out that this is the thing, and cuts his hair, and the Philistines come upon him. They overcome him because the Spirit of God leaves him, because he gave up his heart, because he did not pursue what God was calling him to pursue, but he was pursuing his temptations. His heart was drifting. And what do the Philistines do? They come in, and they beat him up, and they gouge his eyes out. And they put him up in front of all the Philistines to mock and to laugh at. And it ends for Samson. Over time, they continue to mock him, and his hair grows back, and his strength remains. And he pulls, he's put it between two pillars, and he pulls them down that's supporting the structure, and it caves in, and it kills everyone. And that's the story of Samson. And students, I fear that's the story of our lives, because we find ourselves flirting with temptation over and over again. We go, I know I want Jesus. Like on Sunday morning, I'm so excited about Jesus, but on Friday or Saturday night, I'm not. Or when I'm home alone, I'm not so excited about Jesus because I start to believe the lies of the world. And I know that it's Jesus. Like I need to pursue Jesus. Like I love Jesus. I really do. But there's these moments that come along where a friend or a news article says, no. It's okay to have sex. No. No, what they meant by that is that you shouldn't whatever. And we let the world chip away at truth. We let fiction chip away at truth. We have a world where it goes, no. Pornography, it's a way that you express yourself. You can have whatever you want. Let's be honest. We live in a world where it's like, whatever you want, that's you. Live your truth. All these things. And the reality is, as we're listening to those things and not putting them out of our mind and going to truth, it chips away at truth. And our minds become vexed. And our souls become vexed. And it starts to shrink. And we have nothing left. And we just start to believe the lies of the world. And we give the world our hearts. And it kills us. Like it's like may not lead to physical death, but leads to a point where our spiritual life is on life support, and we don't know that we can come back from it. So that's the introduction to today's message. Flip over to Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 18. Longest introduction I've ever done, right there. So we're gonna go 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 20. You can follow along. It should be on the screen. And so a lot of this will be recapping. So what we have here is we have a man named, a prophet named Elijah, who finds himself as the only person who's pursuing God in his community. A lot of you can feel that way. And he has the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah telling him things that are not true. Like they're worshiping another god. There's this king, his name's Ahab, who is pushing the entire country, who is saying that, hey, these are gods. Baal is a god and Asherah is a god. Sharing lies, very much like we experience today in media, in entertainment, and at our schools, and in our classes. There's lies that's being spoken to us as if they're true. But when we get into God's word, we realize they're the furthest from the truth. But that's what's happening. So it's Elijah versus all of these prophets of Baal. And they get into this moment where it's like, hey, let's find out who the real God is. And so we jump in. 1 Kings 18:20 says, so Ahab sent all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, and this is for us. He may have declared this thousands of years ago to the Israelites, but this is for us, GSM, the 6th of January, 2019. This is for us. Do not let this moment pass you by. Open your heart, open your ears to what God's word has for us this morning. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? How long will we go along limping between two different opinions? God says no sex before marriage, and it's not just intercourse. It's a lot of stuff that leads up to that. The world says, have it all. And we get caught up between those two different opinions. Pornography, no lust. Greed, generosity. Confidence, lack of confidence. Discontentment, gratitude. Like the world says, have it. God's word says, it's not what I designed it for. It's not how it's intended. It's not its purpose. And Elijah asks them and us this morning, How long will you go limping between two different opinions? Because we're there. Right now, for a lot of us, Jesus, yes, all about Jesus. But when we leave here, when we go into the avenues of our lives, we start to hear the opinions in the world and we go, I don't know, I kind of like those. And we go back and forth like pinball machine, bing, 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 bing. And I love when God's word does this. When it brings up something that's thousands of years old that we still feel today. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? It says, if the Lord is God, follow him. Like if you believe that God is who he says he is, if you believe that God is doing what he has promised to do, if you look back and you say he has fulfilled promises that he's made, he will continue to fulfill promises that he has made. God is a promise fulfiller. Like, if the Lord is God, if God is who his word says he is, who he says he is, follow him. If you're committed on him, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. If you believe who God is, who he says he is, follow him. But if you don't believe that, follow the world. But stop bouncing between two different opinions. And the people did not answer him a word. And Elijah said to the people, I, even only I, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, it is well spoken. So essentially, here's what it is. It says, hey, Elijah says, I know who God is, who he says he is. I am confident in that. There is no wavering. I know who he is. He says, pursue these things, don't pursue those things. So I pursue these things, and I leave those in the dust. He goes, and he's the only one. Then there's these 450 prophets who are standing there and they find themselves saying, well, we think Baal is God. And so he says, he creates this little challenge. We're all about challenges in 2018, 2019. This is the God versus Baal challenge. And so what he says is we're gonna have two bulls. We're gonna go through the proper ways that we prepare an offering. Each and all, you do it how Baal likes it. And I'm going to do it how God demands it. And then we'll have a test. We'll have a good old-fashioned test. We'll call out to our God, and whichever one's consumed with fire, that's got to be the real God. So they create this. And so what it says is the Baal prophets, they go all day, and they're crying out to Baal, who's not real, so they're crying out to the air, and they're saying, come down and consume this, and nothing happens. And Elijah begins to, like, poke fun at him a little bit. He's like, maybe your God's, like, asleep. At one point, he's like, maybe he's on vacation, so you need to be really loud. And so They cry out to the air louder. They cry out to Baal louder, and they're going all day. And at one point, Elijah, this is where his understanding of who God is may have gotten the best of him. His pride was in God, and so that's okay. But he goes, hey, maybe your God is relieving himself, saying like maybe your God's going to the bathroom right now, and that's why he can't hear you. You need to be louder to like get to wherever his bathroom is. That's where you need to get to. So they go all day, nothing, obviously, nothing. Baal's not real. He's not a real God. And then Elijah finds himself saying, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come and I want you to dump water on this offering so much that it's soaked. You ever tried to like burn, not just like surface wet wood, but like drenched wood? It doesn't. Like it just doesn't. But he says, hey, let's do that. Let's continue to pour water on it until everything is absolutely drenched. And then he digs a moat around the offering and he fills it with water. He fills it with water. And so at this point, the prophets of Baal have failed miserably. Nothing happens. And they've called down fire and it hasn't come yet. And so that's everything up to verse 36. We'll pick up in 36. Everything's soaking wet. Like, even with a blowtorch, modern-day blowtorch, couldn't burn it. It says, at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. God, I'm committed on you. I'm not wavering. Elijah, I'm not wavering and limping between two opinions. I'm confident that you are who you say you are, that you are the God of the universe, that you are the Lord of all. I know that's who you are, and I've done what you've called me to do. He says, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Like, Father, in heaven, do this so that they see who you are. Says 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Let no one of them escape. And he seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slaughtered them there. I think sometimes those things that are calling out to us, those things that are professing false lifestyles, false decisions, I think sometimes what we need to do is not flirt with the temptation and say, hey, would you, like, hold on, I'm gonna read up on this to see what the world has to say about it. I'm gonna flirt to try and maybe see if my temptations are okay. I think what we need to do is we need to take them down to the river and we need to slaughter them. We need to kill our temptations. We need to put them in a place where they will not come back. We need to go to desperate measures to slaughter our temptations that will lead us to sin and to death. I think we need to find ourselves in a position like Elijah and not like Samson. We say, no. I am so convinced that it is God that there is nothing that can change my mind, and I am focused on him, and I know my temptations exist, but I cannot go near them because God calls me in a direction and I need to follow him and I need to go after him. And my temptations, I'm taking them down to the riverbank and I'm slaughtering them and I'm giving them to God. And I'm going to say, hey, I know that I want these things, but I know that you say no, or not right now, and I have to be okay with that because I believe that you are the God that you say you are. The God who sent fire to earth to burn up an offering that had no business being burned other than the fact that God wanted it there. Like, I think we live like Samson where we pursue our temptations and we don't slaughter them, we feed them. We flirt with them. We find ourselves in relationships that we shouldn't be in. We find ourselves interacting with things that we have no business interacting with. We find ourselves in places that we have no business being. We're feeding our temptations because we're wavering between two different opinions. On Sunday morning, I think God is who he says he is, or I know it, but the rest of the week, I start to check out. What's that have to say? Wonder what smart people and philosophers, what would they say about this? When our only concern should be, what does God say about this? And I think the reality is as we look at the life of Elijah, and I think we can look at these people, like, and put them on a higher pedestal, like, hey, there's us, and then there's, like, the heroes of the Bible that's, like, a little bit more elevated than us, and then there's God. And what we forget is, no, Elijah was a man, flesh and bone, just like us. He had temptations. He sinned, just like we did. But there came a point where he said, no, I'm convinced that it's God. And I'm going to turn, and I'm going to pursue him in everything that I do. Students, I think that's what we need to realize. We need to say, I know that God is who he says he is. I know it. And I know that my friends may disagree, but I don't care. Because I know that God is who he says he is. I've seen him fulfill promises in the past, and I know he will continue to do it in the future, and I need to pursue him and live my life for him. and not feed my temptations. What I need to do is I need to take my temptations down to the riverbank and I need to kill it. I need to slaughter it right there. Give it to God. For some of us, as we look ahead to 2019, you may be feeling God tugging on your heart that creates awkward or difficult or painful conversations that need to happen or painful interactions that need to happen. That must happen. We must take our temptations to the river and slaughter it, and because we know that Jesus is who he says he is. And so what I want to encourage you to do is have that and know that God is looking down on you saying, thank you. Thank you for trusting and knowing that I am who I say I am. And hey, this might be hard right now, but as you continue to pursue me, life will get better because you're going to grow in relationship with me. You're going to become even more confident in who I am. As you get into my word, you're going to understand better who you are because you were made in my image. And he's going to just blow your mind. But we cannot experience that by wavering. By saying, I'm going to give it all except for that one thing. By saying, hey, you know what? We're going to talk tonight. I'm talking to my boyfriend or girlfriend tonight. The physical side ends. We're not going to go there anymore. But I'm not willing to break up. I think in those moments we say, God, I need to control this situation. You can. I have to be able to control the future. I don't trust where you're going to take me. And that's why I'm going to control these things. We need to take them to the river. We need to slaughter them. And just say, God, I'm going to make this sacrifice knowing that you're going to bring me to where you want me to be, and that will be better for me because it's what you want for me. Difference between Samson and Elijah is one was sold out and said, I'm confident no matter what happens, life, death, ridicule, I may become unpopular, I may not get all that I want, but I'm sold out on God. Elijah versus Samson, who goes, God's given me, I've seen God work in incredible ways. He's given me this incredible strength. How could this be explained? But I really want my temptations too, like I'm gonna flirt with those. That's the difference. Someone who's sold out, convinced that God is who he says he is, and someone who believes God is who he says he is, but wants to control the situation. That's the difference. And it's a difference in our hearts. So as we look ahead to this year, let's do that together. Let's continue to meet and do life together. When you take your temptation to the river and you slaughter it, let's share that with one another so that we can support you with that. We can go to the God through prayer who's able to overcome all those things, and we can keep you accountable because the nature of temptations is they continue to come back until we're in heaven. We need people alongside of us who can help us along the way. Let's slaughter our temptations in 2019. Let's be fully sold out on God, trusting that he is who he says he is, that he is the Lord of Lords. He is the God who fulfills promises. He is the God who has our best interests in mind and just wants to reveal it to us. Let's be those people in 2019. Father God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your word and how it speaks to us so clearly. Father, I thank you for your spirit, how he speaks to us. He moves and he stirs inside of us. And it's my prayer, Father, that these students, that these parents, that these adults, that for myself, that we would take the temptation down to the river and we would slaughter it and we would say, this is keeping me from fully being 100% in trust with God. I need to get rid of this so that I can focus on him. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for you who you are. God, it is my prayer that you would demand obedience in our lives and we would pursue that. Father, that we would trust you are who you say you are and that you will continue to fulfill the promises that you have fulfilled. Thank you, Father. Move us, push us towards you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Would you guys stand and sing with us?